What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
And we welcome you to another edition of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shropshire, C70 at C70 on Twitter. And with me, as always, is Alan Medlock of Red Dirt Redbird and A Medlock One on Twitter. We didn't do a show last night. Life kind of got in the way and never seemed to be able to fit our schedules with the Cardinals' schedules, and probably didn't have a whole lot of positive things to say as the Cardinals got beat up by the Dodgers. And but now that they've won 2 out of 3 against the Braves, so recording this on Thursday night during the off night, Alan, do you feel better today than you did Saturday after the 17-4 loss?
Yeah, that was a low point. I felt like they would probably bounce back from that. Well, I was really hoping the Sunday night game can kind of be a curse. So I was a little concerned about that, but I really felt like they would bounce back well. Through that whole series to where you want to be down on St. Louis so hard, it would have been easy to do that. I was more impressed with L.A. I really thought that lineup was deep. I was concerned about that. I was like, man, they are rolling at the right time. And still, I can say that, and I know it's easy to say because it's the most recent, but I think that's the best team the Cardinals have played. Then you throw in, you know, Kershaw's going to be Kershaw, but you throw in Buehler, and they're pretty darn good because I thought he was much more dominant in his start. And then, you know, his consequential start last night, he gave up some runs in the first, but he battled back and looked really good last night. They're really good. It's one of those situations to where, you know, the cream's kind of rising to the top with them, where they're really playing well. But back to your question, I felt like they would probably rebound from that one. That was one of those that was kind of a whoop dog type situation. Your back's against the wall in that spot. You know, you lose your footing in the playoff chase. But, you know, they rebounded well, and that was, you know, Wainwright. You know, we'll get into that later, I'm sure. But you know, it was pretty heroic, you know, the way that he handled that one. And, you know, we see that they've got they built a little bit of a cushion here in this wild card chase.
Yeah, I think that I'm like you. The Dodgers are a better team than their record has shown. They're a team that should have, I mean, we all, you know, they went to the World Series last year and almost won it. The team that most of us expected to just kind of run away with the NL West. And they're finally kind of showing it that they're a team. So it's not too surprising that they came in and, you know, the Cardinals went to LA and got 3 wins. It's not too surprising they come in and get some of that, especially with Kershaw and Buehler pitching in that series. So yeah, there's that. But, you know, I think it just indicates how chaotic at times this time of year can be. I mean, again, Saturday night, after that game, the Cardinals were, half a game, I guess, at that point, because the Dodgers passed the Rockies up that day, half a game out of the wild card. And today, 4 games later, they're a game and a half ahead of the Rockies. Helps that the Dodgers went in and swept them. But that just shows you, I mean, here we are, you know, right now talking about a game and a half lead. By the time we do this again next week, you know, who knows where they're going to be. It's kind of interesting, and it definitely means that these last 9 games of the season, this is something we talk about every year, even the last couple of years. We've talked about this, about how the Cardinals so very rarely play meaningless games. I mean, what, last year they got eliminated with, what, 2 or 3 games left, I think, which was the earliest they've been eliminated since 2010, at least, if not before. So you're getting down to it. They're going to play. I mean, I can't see that the Cardinals, even if they really stumble, you know, this time next week and the off day and they go into Chicago, it seems unlikely that they'll be officially eliminated by that point. No matter, I mean, unless they just, things just go completely off the rails. So you're getting down to the last weekend and still playing games that matter. And to some degree, you know, maybe that's selling things short. I know that people talk about the focus of this squad seems to have shifted from winning a title to making the playoffs to playing meaningful games, maybe. But on the other hand, again, especially from what we've seen the last 2 years and where this team was earlier this year, to have these last 9 games mean something is pretty important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, you and I had kind of had maybe, I can't remember if it was on a show or off the air where we had talked about, I could see them playing meaningful in September, and we kind of went back and forth a little bit about it not happening. And then, if you got to think, in June and July, that was not very likely. You know, they look lost and disinterested. So, yeah, it's quite the record they have, and not necessarily wins and losses, but the fact that they're always in the middle of it, and they definitely have paced themselves there now. And you know, almost you worry about that because every time we start heaping praise, we know what happens. But I don't know. I feel pretty good about this run, and I kind of feel good about going in and taking the 2 out of 3 in Atlanta. And you got to be pleased with where you are going into the last week of the season, even with the head-to-heads with rivals.
Yeah, I think that going into Atlanta, and maybe talk a little bit about that series, but you know, they go into Atlanta and they win 2 out of 3 against a team that is leading their division. Now, it's a team that has a record that's very similar to the Cardinals, but right at the same record. So, they're a team that's, you know, if you go by that mark, a team that's very comparable to the Cardinals. But they went in and won the first 2 games fairly handily, although it took some late inning offense to give that kind of cushion. And then you have Jack Flaherty lined up for that game 3, so, you know, on a normal Jack Flaherty day, and if the offense could have put something together early versus trying to do it again late, you know, maybe they could have swept that series. And I think that means a lot more than even if they had flipped this. If the Giants had been the next team and you went 2 out of 3 against the Giants, you're still kind of iffy on, you know, are they going to be able to play with the playoff teams? Obviously, we saw them be able to do that in that stretch of 10 series that they won. But, you know, have they hit that wall to where they're not going to be able to do it? So to go in and play an Atlanta that is a playoff team and do so well, I think that kind of tells you. And you can also look at the fact that, you know, the first 2 games of that Dodgers series, they had a chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they battled back and had, what, I think the go-ahead run was either on base or at the plate in the first game, and the second game was a 3-1, I think. So, and I, you know, you're still right there. They played with the Dodgers. You could argue they played with the Dodgers at some points. So it wasn't a great one. So, I don't know. I mean, I think we've kind of seen that this team has all sorts of options. They could be a team that loses that first game. If they make the playoffs, they could lose that wild card game. They're a team that could, you know, put a run together, and, you know, I think they could still be a World Series team just because in a short series they can be dangerous.
Without a doubt. I mean, that's you've got to think. You do kind of worry about some lag on the arms right now. But like I said, what we have talked about this for a while. This pitching staff is one that I would like to see in a playoff scenario. And I'll be honest, and I know that I hope it's not fool's gold. I'm entirely including Wainwright in that. And I don't know. I just think that. I think they could make a run. I just think they have some pieces in place, and it may ultimately be a year ahead of time, ahead of the rebuild or whatnot, however we want to call this. But yeah, I mean, that's what I want to see most. I want to see you get in a short series where you line up your pitching and, you know, see how it works. That's all that we have. That'd be the most exciting thing with this club, which we never thought we would see.
So, let's talk about Adam Wainwright. You've mentioned him a couple times, and it's fair to do so. You know, after Adam Wainwright's first start, which we didn't really get to talk about because we missed last week. You know, Adam Wainwright gives up 4 runs in 5 innings, and there was still kind of some debate about whether he should pitch in anymore in the rotation, which I think even at the time may have been a little bit of an overstatement, because you look at the arms and look at the results that we're seeing out of this rotation right now. 4 runs in 5 innings is not that bad. I mean, that's right in line with some of these guys. I mean, you know, right after that, Austin Gomber goes out and gives up, you know, what, 7 to the Dodgers in 3 innings, or maybe a 6, but, you know, and then John Gant can't get through the 5th. We've seen a number of those kind of starts lately. So it's, and it's not like, you know, they've expanded it out to 6 men. Adam Wainwright's not really taking anybody's spot. So it didn't seem crazy to have him come back out. But now that we've seen him, you know, 6 scoreless innings against the Dodger team that had put up 17 the day before on the Cardinals, and looking more like the Adam Wainwright we remember. You said you didn't believe it was fool's gold. How long can Wainwright keep that up?
That's the only reason I say that is when we were going back and forth, even via text, he just looked healthy for the first time. It seemed like that in the first start too, but I was like, I don't know if I want to buy off on that just yet. And I wouldn't be surprised if he threw a clunker this weekend, you know, one of those things. But he did just look free and easy, which I hadn't, it just hadn't seemed like we've seen in a while. You know, and 6 scoreless innings with 9 strikeouts says a lot. You know, that's the thing. I was like, I never would have guessed that. So, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of a stabilizing resource that they have in this rotation, who desperately needs it right now. You know, because I think they're really running on fumes. So I'm really optimistic about the start. And I'll say this, I was a naysayer from the beginning. It wasn't like I didn't think he deserved another shot, because I really thought he was going to, whether whatever happened results wise, it would have had to have been really bad for them to take him out. But that was their 6th starter. They weren't going to go with any more youth because they really didn't have any. And they wanted to see this rebound, and I think there was a part of it to where they wanted to see him go out like this. Well, this is, I mean, a perfect scenario. You got basically a fresh arm late when they desperately need that extra arm in the rotation, and I think that it probably juices him up quite a bit.
I would think so, and that's something I talked with Tara on Gateway this week, and it's, I wonder a little bit. You know, we saw Adam Wainwright come back in 2015 as a reliever and be dominant. And I mean, part of that was because he was just throwing 1 inning, 2 innings here and there. Although it built up to the point that if the Cardinals had made it to the NLCS, there was a really good chance that Adam Wainwright was going to make a start in that series. But, you know, he was really strong, and I'm wondering if this is going to be something similar, and with the fact that he's been off for a long while, he's been able to get rested, he's been able to get somewhat healthy, and knows he doesn't have to try to pace himself through the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
All he has to do is throw 2 more starts, you know, and then whatever happens in the playoffs. So I wonder, and I mean, the better Adam Wainwright does in this next start and the start after, if he gets it, starts raising the questions of next year and what does that mean, and should the Cardinals bring him back, and will he want to come back because he's doing healthy, you know, he's feeling healthy and feeling good, and what would that look like, and things like that, and a lot of things we can discuss in the off season. But I just wonder if we're seeing like concentrated Adam Wainwright in like a, you know, focused and packed into, all I have to do is get through 20 innings basically and let's see what I can do. And, you know, if that's the case, that's the case.
I think that's a great point. And that may go into how free and easy he looked the other day. You know, I hadn't thought about it like that. I thought it was trying to battle yourself back to get back on the mound. But you may be right. I mean, it's a, hey, what do I have to lose at this point? And I can be a stabilizing force here. I think you hit the nail on the head on that. That makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously it has a lot to do with him actually being healthy. And
Sure.
You know, it was pretty obvious. You know, the Cardinals, for the first time ever, didn't rush a rehab guy back. I mean, he spent a lot of time working his way back up. So, I know. I'm kind of with you. I think that I don't expect six scoreless innings every time out.
No,
but,
no.
You know, a quality start or something similar, you know, 3 runs in 6 innings, 3 runs in 5 innings, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, especially when he goes up against the San Francisco team this weekend, you know, without Buster Posey, a team that's never been an offensive juggernaut, even when they win. I mean, not that they don't have good players and good hitters, but it's not necessarily a team you think is going to beat you into submission. So, you know, looks good there. And then you see, because I guess he'd be up. Maybe he might be in that Cubs series, and it might be that might, you know, this weekend might be it. This weekend very well could be the last time Cardinal fans see him in Busch Stadium. But you know, I think the door for 19 has cracked open a little bit more than, you know, it was slammed shut all year long, but that cracks the door and another good start. You know, I think Adam Wainwright's trying to put his foot in that door, and I don't know what that looks like, and I don't know if it happens, but.
I agree though. I completely agree with you, and that's, I stopped short of saying it when we were talking about it, because I didn't know if we would get to it, and I thought that maybe putting the cart before the horse, but I agree with you. That's, and I think that that's something, I couldn't see him pitching in another uniform. I think that if he wants to pitch, it will be back here, and I'll be honest with you, where we think that they're gonna be loaded, I think that they're going to need the innings just because of so many of these guys that have pitched unexpected innings now. Truth serum, I don't think they ever thought Gant would have thrown what he's thrown. The Gomber's thrown what he's thrown. And I think they would probably tell you that Flaherty's gone over the limit that they really wanted to see him throw. And I think that had a lot to do with Reyes being out, and of course Martinez. So I bet they hedge their bets on this one and go with a known quantity in Wainwright.
If he wants to, I think that's reasonable too, because you're right. I mean, and we've seen, you know, when you go into the seasons thinking you're going to have these guys, you're going to have Alex Reyes, you're going to have Carlos Martinez, you're going to have Miles Mikolas, you're going to have Jack Flaherty, and then, you know, Michael Wacha or whoever's going to be the fifth starter. But, you know, how many, you know, Reyes has pitched four innings in the last 2 years. Not saying that he won't get hurt, will get hurt again, but, you know, something could happen. Flaherty could go down. You know, something could happen, and then where are you at? If Adam Wainwright is willing to be like a swing guy, if he's willing to be Tyson Ross, what we're seeing out of Tyson Ross this year, and I'm perfectly fine with bringing Tyson Ross back to do Tyson Ross stuff if he's going to keep this up, but you can't really have both of them. But if he's willing to be that guy that can start when you need a starter and a guy that could come in the third inning and pitch, you know, and not really know when he's going to pitch, then, and obviously at less than $20 million for whatever he's getting paid this year, you know, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. But again, we'll have to see how this goes and see what he wants to do. I think the only, and like you said, I'm like with you, as I don't really see him going anywhere else. The only other option would probably be pitching in Atlanta. Just because that's where he came up, that's where he still lives in Georgia. I think if the Cardinals didn't want him, that's, and he really wanted to pitch, that's probably the only place he would. But Atlanta's got a lot of young pitching too that may not have a real need for him either. So, I don't know. I think that's going to be kind of an interesting thing to watch, especially early on, unless he decides he's ready and calls the retirement. But Wainwright hasn't really shown that. He hasn't ruled that out necessarily. He hasn't said, I'm pitching next year, but, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised either way, I guess. So.
Yeah, agreed.
We've seen a lot of the bullpen with these starters not going deep. The Cardinals are bringing up, Giovanni, Gallegos, who came over in the, he came over in the Luke Voit trade, right? Right?
Yes, yes, with Shreve.
With Shreve. I get him and Cabrera confused.
Exactly. Cabrera. I had it too.
The G's, I think, but, Genesis Cabrera came over with Tommy Pham and the Tommy Pham trade, and, boy, that's a lot for, I say that's a lot for Luke Voit, but then again, when we see what Luke Voit's doing for the Yankees, maybe the Cardinals didn't get enough. But anyway, Gallegos is coming up to kind of bolster the bullpen a little bit now that Memphis has won their championship. It's kind of needed. I mean, this bullpen, is kind of struggling. I mean, it's really to the point that, you know, you trust Carlos Martinez mostly, although he didn't look, he kind of was a little bit shaky at times in Atlanta. You trust him mostly. You trust Jordan Hicks mostly. Hicks does have a tendency to be walking a lot more people than he should do. But after that, I mean, you know, I kind of trust Tyson Ross to come in and be that, you know, long relief guy like I was talking about, but I don't, you're not going to see him in the seventh inning or anything. I mean, is there anybody else out there that gets you, you know, really, you see him come in and you're fairly confident that they're going to get the job done?
I don't know. It's, you know, it's one of those, I want to pull for Myers so much, but he's right at that innings limit too. And, you know, I really thought Leon would be great this year for St. Louis, and he's had his flashes, but he's struggled a little bit. So, you know, I don't know. You hand that ball over to the bullpen right now, it's a little worrisome. That's what I think, you know, some of this new blood could only help. And a lot of the performances that is just from the fact that I think they are, you know, we're just down, we're to it. I mean, we're in uncharted water for a lot of these guys, you know, that the rotation, the whole staff is so young that, you know, there's a lot of wear factor going on right now. Mm-hmm. And, you're right. It's tough. I keep thinking, just like yesterday, you and I were talking, and I said, you know, Flaherty, Hicks, and Martinez all rested is almost a too perfect, you know, matchup right now. You know what I'm saying? That's how you would want it to line up every night, but, you know, you just don't know what you're going to get right now, and it's such a crapshoot. I'm assuming it was almost 100 degrees down there because everybody kept talking about it too, and that may play a factor, you know, when you add the heat into the fatigue. But you're right. I mean, it's worrisome when they've got to go to that bullpen in about the fifth.
Yeah, I mean that bridge between the fifth, sixth to the eighth, ninth is kind of iffy. Now, mm-hmm. You know, again, the good thing about the playoffs is there's a good bit of off days built in, and you can run Hicks and Martinez a lot more often. And you know, if Bud Norris gets over his blister, you know, maybe he's an effective person out of the pen, even if he's not closing games. I know they'll probably talk about him, you know, facing left-handers and stuff like that, and that's a guy that you probably can. And John Brebbia has pitched pretty well for the most part this season.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe there's that, but yeah, I mean, it's kind of dicey.
I don't give Brevia enough credit. Mm. You know, that's the name I didn't even think of, and he's pitched well. I thought he pitched really well in Atlanta.
Yeah. He has had his moment. Now he's stumbled as well, and, but he does have a bit higher K ratio than some of the others, and that helps him get him out of it. And that's really what it boils down to. I mean, you look at, you know, this is not a high octane. This is not the, you know, Trevor Rosenthal's and stuff like that of the past where you had guys that would just come in and just strike people out. I mean, these guys can be effective, but there's going to be a lot of contact. And that's, you know, some nights that works, some nights that doesn't. And, you know, I think you look at, you know, guys like Dakota Hudson, who I've said, I get concerned a lot when Hudson comes in because I just don't see him being able to put people away. And, you know, there's others like that, you know, and then you've got the lefties, which, you know, you and I were talking about Brett Cecil a little bit beforehand, and you pointed out somebody tweeted out a mark that earlier today that showed how bad the Cardinals have been when he's been in a game.
It was unbelievable. I mean, like I said, we may be able to go back in history and see some of these pitchers and look and think, oh, that's, you know, that's not as bad as it sounds, because a lot of relievers are in that situation because they're ultimately going to throw on some days where they've thrown in the towel, and other games when you've got an 8-run lead, you know, I'm sure that balances out somewhere. But I was blown away. It was Jeff Jones that put it out, and it was 9-29 as the Cardinals record when he throws. And, you know, that looks terrible, and you first want to jump on the fact that not all of those would have been his fault. He may have come in games where they didn't have the lead, or they were getting beat. It was one side in the other direction. But that says a lot more, is that the fact that he is pitching in those games. You know what I mean? That he's doing the mop up work. So yeah, not pretty. Not a good look at all.
Yeah, it's and again, that's the situation that you have, I don't know what the Cardinals do there. And again, we'll have time to talk about some of this stuff in the off season, but you know, it feels pretty obvious that Brett Cecil is not going to be on the playoff roster. That, you know, they may go with Shreve and
not a lot of trust.
But, and you know, again, Norris is the guy that they're looking at that can get lefties out. Cecil's not going to be on this playoff roster. You know, what you do with two more years of that contract, you know, I don't know. I don't know that, you know, there was some idea that, you know, season one of his contract, he was hit and miss. He had a lot of good stretches. He had a lot of bad stretches. And he thought maybe he'd settle in on week two. And he's had some injuries and stuff, but that hasn't happened here. And there's only so much you can fault for injury and stuff with the numbers that he's putting up. You know, running him out there next year, hoping that things are better, is problematic. But you know, he's getting what, I don't remember, $8-9 million a year or something. It's enough that you really hate, especially for 2 years. I would think you would hate to cut them. The Cardinals have not been very excited about paying people not to play for them. Not they'll do it, but they don't really like to. And in fact, I noticed Dennis Lawson had an article over on Birds on the Black about dead money earlier today, I think, and so yeah. Look at some of those numbers. But yeah, for this year, you know, you're only going to see Cecil when the Cardinals are way ahead or way behind, and you're only going to see him sporadically at that, and you're not going to see him in October. I don't bet, but I'd put money down that you're not going to have him on the postseason roster.
I just can't imagine that you will. You know, I know they have all those left-handers in there, and Webb is the only one that I really, really feel confident in getting out of big spots. You know, Shreve has his moments, but he really wanted him to rebound so well. And out in L.A., I thought he pitched great. You know, looked really good. Then, of course, you know, then that flogging that Colorado put on him on that Saturday night where they just couldn't get any outs, you know, he was a part of that. And you're just thinking, well, Colorado's going to do that to everybody. But I don't think he's had many good appearances after that. Yeah, I don't know. I just can't imagine him being on the roster. I try not to think too much about the roster at this point because I think that, you know, I'm going to jinx him if I do. But yeah, it's kind of getting to that point to where you're just like, let's see how these pieces are going to fit. And I just don't see how he can fit. I just don't see how he makes it.
Yeah. I don't, with as many other options as there are, the limited space that you have, and especially, I mean, that first game, that play-in game, of course, the roster is really skewed.
Sure.
Because, you know, most of the starters aren't on there, and, you know, you really kind of load it up because if it's just one game. But.
Well, and even where you're going with that, I mean, that's either Gomber or Gant are going to the bullpen, you know, so that's another spot less. And to be honest, I'm kind of torn on this one because I would love to have the left-handed Gomber in the bullpen, but I also like having that lefty starter. So I don't know. I really ride the fence on that one, but nonetheless, one of those two will be in the bullpen. So that's another body that won't be out there.
Well, and I mean, you know, I guess it depends on how the schedule fits out, but you always kind of look at, you know, probably going to have to run a 4-man rotation even in that
first I would think so.
But, yeah, I mean, you got Michaelis, you got Flaherty. You know, do you run Adam Wainwright in your postseason roster? Just, if nothing else, because of the experience factor. I mean, this is a lot of guys.
I think that's a foregone conclusion. I'm sorry to cut you off. I think that at this point, I think that's a done deal.
It very well, and of course, it also may depend on his next couple of starts too. But having a guy like that with his experience, I mean, it has to count for something.
True.
But and you know, again, Gant has pitched well at times this year, but he's, you know, struggled the last little bit. And there are these guys that are hitting that wall and hitting that spot where they don't really want them to put a whole lot more innings on them. So, you know, innings aren't going to hurt Adam Wainwright's arm at this point. So
no, good. Yeah, that's a great point.
All year long anyway, so he's not...
You know, pretty fresh.
It's pretty fresh.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, I mean, so you'd go Michaelis... Flaherty, Michaelis, Gomber, Wainwright, then?
I probably would. You know, I'm a huge fan of Gant. I think he gets overlooked, but I also think that he would play well in the bullpen. So I'm torn between the Gant and Gomber, but I would definitely go Flaherty, Michaelis, Wainwright.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's pretty reasonable because I don't know that anybody else is just, you know, really just standing out.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you could argue Daniel Ponce de Leon, but, you know, he's not even starting right now.
No, yeah, I agree.
So, I don't know. I don't know who else you would say could be in that, you know, especially since you're going to have Carlos Martinez at the back end of your bullpen.
And if you build from the back, you can kind of start making some sense on that. You know what I mean? Then it really starts cutting in because you can go Martinez, Hicks, Ponce de Leon, Norris if he's healthy, then Myers, Brebbia, and I mean, you're cutting into some pretty big names. This has to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be some interesting decisions. I mean,
like I said,
sorry.
No, we kind of had a fizz out there, but I wasn't saying anything anyway. But it's also one of those now we're teetering on that. Hey, putting the car before the horse a little bit.
It was true, but I mean that's kind of that's kind of what we do here.
It's true. I'm just superstitious.
Yeah, but I don't. You know, as somebody once said, if we have the power to change the fortunes of the Cardinals, we're doing this wrong. yeah. You know, they need to be paying us a little bit more to help. It's just getting to that point. I mean, again, this is not, hey, they're going to make the playoffs. This is, if they do, what do you look like?
True.
Because it's reasonable to say that. It's not like, you know, you're talking about, you know, who's going to start game one of the World Series for the Cardinals. But it's fair enough to start thinking if they can get through this next week and then they can get through that wild card game, which is, I tell you though, as much as it's kind of like you said earlier about that other game on Wednesday where you had lined up for Flaherty to play against pitch against Bryce, you could have Flaherty go up against the Brewers in that one game playoff. That's exactly what you want.
Yeah.
I mean, if you draw it up the way he's pitched against Milwaukee this year, which is probably means the time they'd catch up with him, but, you know, he's, what, struck out 13 once against them, and I think he took a no-hitter again. I don't know if it's in the same game. I mean, he has dominated the Brewers at times this year, so getting him to go into that game against a one-game playoff against the Brewers, that could be really interesting.
Oh yeah, it'd be fun to watch. You know, that's the one. He would dominate him that one day, and I can't remember if it was the 13 strikeouts or if it was the. And it may have been the same game. You're right, yeah. But you know, he got demoted the next day, or it may have even been that night and didn't take it very well.
Yeah.
So you know, exactly. So yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. I mean, I look forward to it. And you know, the Cardinals. You know, Bernie kept pointing this out today, and it was brought up on the broadcast Tuesday night of how much better they are at scoring runs on the road, and that's a good run scoring ballpark.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely is. Definitely a place that it'll hit. And you know, the Brewers pitching has been better. It's been surprisingly good. And we kind of thought the Brewers would falter by now, and they haven't. Give them all the credit for bouncing around and bouncing there and staying in this race. There was a time where it did look like they might be about to fade, and they kind of came back. And they're still, like I said, still challenging the Cubs there for the division at the moment. So you got to give them a lot of credit. So we'll see how that goes. Now, obviously, we've gotten talked a lot about the pitching, but you know, you got to score some runs to win some games. And the Cardinals have done some of that this week. You know, they put up 11 and 8 in the first two games against the Braves, and they scored 5 in the game that Wainwright pitched and 7 in the first game against the Dodgers, although they lost that one. But it's really kind of interesting because when you look at this lineup and you look at this roster, it just feels like Marcell Ozuna is hitting, but it just doesn't feel like anybody else is. They're getting hits at the right time, I guess.
You're right. The strikeout bug really came back hard. And, that's probably advanced scouting, you know, getting to the nitty gritty that, they're really being picked over. And the fact that a lot of people hadn't had a look at some of the lineup before, you know, being your Munoz, you know, being your Martinez, really, you know, Bader definitely in O'Neill. We're deep into the season now where the book's written, you know, and then it'll always be adapting from that way because I felt like Munoz was really waving. I felt like he seems like he's a tough strikeout, and he really started waving at some pitches and kind of looked like Martinez a little bit. So it was frustrating. You know, you look at DeJong and you really get frustrated with the strikeouts and think that he's really regressed this year, and then you look at all the runs he's driven in. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's probably a lot of opportunity in front of him or whatnot. But, yeah, they just kind of keep their head above water. But it seems like this month has been a different offensive team as opposed to August.
Yeah. It is a different team a little bit. And some of that is just you can't keep that up. And some of that is adjustments being made. And again, they're still... They're still putting up enough. I mean, they're still probably better offensively than they were June and July, it feels like. It's just, you know, there are some days that they can't do anything. And, mm-hmm. you know, you look at facing Walker Buehler. I keep thinking Mark Burley. Walker Buehler. Seriously? Yeah, I know. That's why I actually remind myself. I mean, he's good. I mean, he's dominated the Cardinals twice. I mean, he's dominated a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's, you kind of just, you hope for something there, and that's not a big deal. But, you know, letting Rich Hill kind of get to you is a different story. But I think the overall, the offense is not as likely to completely go in the tank like it used to, but, you know, you look at Matt Carpenter, and I think that's where you really, this is where a lot of the problem is, because he is leadoff hitter, because that's kind of where that offense goes with. And, you know, it's another point that Tara and I talked about on Gateway is that, you know, he started his year with 6 weeks of hitting 140. He's ending his year with 6 weeks of hitting like 210, 220. Mm-hmm. Not much power there. I mean, he's had no home runs in September. He's only had two since August 15th. You know, nobody seems to talk about Matt Carpenter's MVP anymore, which is probably fair. And you look overall, it's, you know, he's hitting 263. He's got a 917 OPS. He's got 35 home runs. It's not a bad season. It's a fairly good season. I'll get MVP votes. But when you look at it in the chunks that it is, I don't know, it's still a little concerning to me to see him, you know, looking as out of it, maybe as, I mean, I don't know that he looks as bad as like Jose Martinez has really looked bad, but I mean, you know, a couple nights ago, three strikeouts for Carpenter in his first three at bats. We've had some, you know, that kind of reminds me of those games earlier in the year where he was striking out four times in a row.
Yeah, I felt like he's looked lost, you know, quite a bit. I mean, in the stretch where he is and, where he just has kind of forgot how to hit, you know, and even, I think the walks are down. That, I was kind of thinking over lineup scenarios with the three lefties coming this weekend, and I know you're facing Bumgarner, who's a stud, and you can look at it two ways. A, you need your best lineup out there to compete, or will this send you further in the slump? Something tells me that I think he will be in the lineup. But I would not be shocked if he was not in the lineup tomorrow. Just to give that third day of just pure rest to gear up, you know, and to get ready to go. I don't think that would be the case, but I wouldn't be blown away if it was. They're going to need him. I mean, that's the thing that's scary about it, because they just don't have that force in the lineup right now that you could count on. I mean, August, that's not going to happen very often. I mean, I understand that. I mean, those numbers he was putting up. But they do need that presence. And I think you do have that a little bit with Ozuna, but back, you know, 3 weeks ago, you get through that eighth spot in the order and you're thinking, okay, well now the top of the order is coming back up. They're going to produce something. I just kind of lost that feeling here for a little while. You know, I just don't have a lot of confidence and that definitely needs to bounce back. I mean, they're going to have to drive in a run. They're going to have to have another big two out hit, you know, something along those lines to really get the juices flowing again.
Yeah. I mean, Carpenter sat yesterday. He sat, when did he, was it Saturday?
I think it was twice in either five or six games.
Yeah, he sat once in the Dodgers series. I can't remember if it was Friday or Saturday. Probably, I think it was Saturday. I think it was Saturday that he sat that game that got so out of hand. And then he sat yesterday. I mean, that's something. I mean,
yeah.
And, you know, that's just not what you see. You don't see that from many players, but you really don't see that from a guy like Carpenter to sit. Or to be benched basically for two games. So that's tough. You know, and maybe, he'll be fine. I mean, I imagine they're going to try to play him the rest of the way, but you're right. I mean, if he looks as bad tomorrow as he, you know, of course he's going against Bumgarner. So, that, you know,
maybe well, that's
on Saturday.
Exactly.
Maybe you start thinking about, you know, but it's tough. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, he's got to play because
sure,
it's Matt Carpenter.
Yeah, I don't think that would be the. I don't think it would get that severe. And just his ability to take pitches and draw walks and stuff like that. I don't ever think he'll probably be moved out of the leadoff spot either, especially this late in the year. But you're right. I kind of question that. I was thinking about that all day today. To where they set him yesterday, and they got the built-in day off today. And you just wonder if there's not some consideration with Bumgarner tomorrow to where he has a chance to make everybody look silly. And do you want to do that to Carp, or is it one of those to where, like Edmund says, the best way for a left-hander to break out of a slump is to face a tough left-hander? So that may go into it. I may be completely wrong to thinking there's any chance at all of him setting tomorrow. You know, the two games or the game off and the two days off may they think that that's enough, and it may work. You never know, but yeah, he just looked silly, and it had some really bad. Even there was one at bat. I think there was either one or two at bats where he had major advantage. He had 3-0, and they came back and struck him out swinging. You know, one of those situations, and that's just not like him.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting. Derek Gould draws the connection, although Mike Schilt didn't think that there was one. And the fact that, you know, he got hit in the hand back in August and hasn't hit much since then. And, you know, and Shield doesn't think there's connection. You know, Carpenter hasn't said anything there's about it. But, and again, you know, well, he's had a little bit. You know, he had a home run a couple nights after that. And I don't know that I'd put a whole lot into that, but it is worth thinking about. You know, is there some sort of residual damage in there? But I think, you know, it's probably more the fact that, you know, he's just, people are going after him. And, you know, if you get Carpenter out, and apparently there's ways to do that, you know, that changes everything. Especially when Jose Martinez isn't hitting very much. Now, the last couple of days, he's had a couple of hits, and maybe he's starting to come out of that. But when you've got Carpenter at the top of it and Jose Martinez a lot of times batting second, and neither one of them are going, you know, that's tough to do.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, that's the prospect that worries me the most is you just don't have that fear factor of any section of the lineup, you know, to where you have a feeling Ozuna is going to be what Ozuna is, and if his power starts trending up, that's going to be a good sign. But yeah, the top of the lineup, it looks like it's easier to get through than normal.
Yeah. We'll say that Mike Schilt says in this article that Gould wrote that Carpenter will be in there Friday, so
okay.
That's probably unlikely to change that. So Harrison Bader is, I don't know, we've seen Bader go into a hot streak before, but home runs and, you know, pinch hit a home run in Monday's game and homered Wednesday, I believe, didn't he? So two home runs in that Atlanta series. Is he starting to come around, do you think? Is this kind of him adjusting back to the league?
I think so. I think that that's a little bit. I think that there may be a little bit. First, let me praise him. I don't think you can ever set him against left-handed pitching because he just rakes. He and Jericho both. That's the things. I think they need to have. I understand there may be some hamstring issue with Jericho. You can tell he's just not that mobile. I think it's overshadowed by Molina's lack of mobility. But you can just tell that Jericho's not 100% moving. But he still got a hit because he just destroys left-handers. And I feel the same way about Bader. So when he hit the homer off the righty this week, I was pretty, after two right-handers this week, I was actually really, no, I'm wrong on that one. One was a right-hander, then one was the Biddle, the left-hander. Yeah. But he just destroys left-handed pitching, and he's got to play. I think that there may be concern throughout the organization. Of course, this is only his second year in the bigs, that he may never truly be able to hit right-handed pitching. I think his defense will still play to where, you know, he'll have an everyday spot in the lineup. But whenever you see him do that, though, I think it's intriguing. You know, he walks into a mistake and he absolutely just crushed it. Mm. So he's just such an exciting player to watch, and I can see him going on a little bit of run, and he just does so many things for you as well. You know, that's just getting on base and moving the ball around. He just adds an element to this team that they seem like they've lacked for 2.5 years.
Yeah, I mean, that is an extra component, and you put him and Wong, you know, Neil can run. It adds something to that. I mean, you've got to be careful with it, but you know, how many times we've seen at least twice what Bader score from third on a not even a wild pitch, just a ball that gets away. So that's that aggressiveness that occasionally backfires, but for the most part, it's a fairly smart aggressiveness that knows what the situation is.
Sure, he seems to run at the perfect times too. They've got a great base running outfield now. That's the one thing. Ozuna doesn't get the credit he deserves. He runs hard and he's a really, really smart base runner. You know, he doesn't do the electric things that Wong or Bader are going to do by stealing that bag, but he always takes the extra bags and he always takes a great turn. You know, they have eliminated a lot of their mistakes, and it's kind of funny that they've done it with kind of the same roster. You know, you see how big Pham was in these base running mistakes. Yeah. You know, he moves along and they've cut down quite a few of them. They'll run into and out every once in a while, but it's not the same as it was. You know, I think Munoz runs really hard if you were to consider him as your fourth, fifth outfielder at this point. And, you know, I think they have got an exciting team that, we just haven't seen in a while.
Yeah. It's been fun. And I don't know what that's going to mean for next year. I mean, that's going to be very interesting off season to think about, you know, how this team is going to be constructed and what it's going to look like with Mike Schilt in charge all year long, over versus just, you know, a couple of months. I think that's going to be,
I think it's
a good chance of playing a large part in that.
I agree. I think that you'll see one of O'Neill or Martinez will probably be playing in another organization, I would think. There's a clue I'm trying to drop as far as the fact that Bader can destroy left-handed pitching and doesn't hit right-handed pitching so well, and I think there's concern. I think that opens up a major hole for Fowler next year.
Yeah.
And that buys you some time to figure that out. You know, whether he's going to be your right fielder, whether he's your fourth outfielder, I think you're going to have at bats for Fowler.
Well, and hopefully, because again, we talked about Cecil and his contract. It feels very difficult to think that the Cardinals could move two deadweight contracts in the offseason. And Fowler's got 3 years left on his deal. And I still want to see Fowler bounce back. I want to see Fowler do well in St. Louis. I don't know if that's possible. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know how Fowler shakes this year off, but I'd like to see that. And maybe it is. Maybe some sort of, you know, I don't know if it's a hard platoon, but something very close to that between him and Bader is what is best for both of them.
Yeah, that's, I agreed. I mean, it is going to be, there's going to be some decisions. It's going to be an interesting offseason. It seems like it's always an interesting offseason for the Cardinals about where they could go. And this may be trading out a surplus now to where we thought that they needed to get guys in.
Yeah, could be. So, you mentioned Paul DeJong a while ago. I think that's interesting too, because you're right, he's got some power, what, 18 home runs, something like that, 18, 19 home runs, but he's hitting 230. I don't know, is that a place, and again, I don't want to get into off-season stuff, but it still feels like that may be a place the Cardinals can upgrade, or, you know, again, there was an article out there today, I think it was John Heyman, that talked about the Cardinals going after Manny Machado, which I don't know that anybody, I think people are, with Machado and Harper, I don't think anybody believes that they'll get them. I think a few people like us could make the case that they might be involved and might be more active than some think. But to really think they're going to land them might be a stretch for just about everybody. But, you know, maybe that's what they do and move to Young, even though Machado's not necessarily any better short. I don't know. I mean, it just feels like Young gives you something, but you could do better.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. I think that he's stable. He's not going to kill you. Yeah, I don't know if I could put it any better. There's going to have to be, just like we said, even at the deadline this year, there's going to have to be a situation to where some of the guys, I said it all season, even in the beginning, I just don't see a situation where you have Jericho, DeJong, Wong, Carpenter, and Martinez in the infield mix. Something's going to change. You know, one of those. I think that you're pretty safe with Wong. I think that you're running up in a interesting money situation with Jericho. Carpenter, I think, has reached mainstay status. You know, he's only got a year or two left after this year anyway, and he could be your first baseman and, you know, and go from there. And they're going to have to upgrade somewhere. It's just going to be interesting how they do it, because you would think that it would be a natural fit for he could obviously could just slide over and play third base. I'm not so sure that he would be any better of any worse of a shortstop option than Machado, though. I don't know if I said that right. You know what I mean? That's where I don't know if the bat's going to play, obviously, with Machado, but I just don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that's much of an upgrade, and I think that that'll play a factor in it. You know, I think that'll have to be a plus-plus glove for them to do that, but I don't know. I agree. It would seem like that could be a place where they would try to improve, but you also may want to see if he can come back and hit 30 homers with a, you know, two healthy arms.
And that's fair too. I mean, he's, but you know, again, I mean, and he hit what? 260 or so last year. I mean, if he could hit that again with 25 home runs, then that's great. And there is something to be said for, you can't really have all-stars at every position. I mean, you're going to have to get by with some, there are going to be some flawed players. And I don't know that we always think that. Sometimes we always talk about, oh man, you know, this guy, you know, he's hitting 230, or he doesn't hit free power, or, you know, he's struggling at the bat when he's playing good defense. I mean, Or vice versa, hits real well, but, you know, like Jose Martinez, hits real well, but can't catch the ball, you know. And some flaws you've got to deal with, some flaws you have to fix, some flaws you have to deal with, because, you know, even those great teams of Pujols, Roland, Edmonds, Renteria, and we got a little bit spoiled because there did feel like there was an all-star at every position, but
yeah.
Even then, you had some guys that, weren't necessarily up to that level, but you got that, you know, they were solid and they did their job. And DeJong seems to be that way. I mean, he's played fairly good defense. I mean, nothing necessarily spectacular, but it's not been, I don't feel like it's been as shaky as it was maybe last year. So you know, again, I'm not saying that they should get rid of him at all.
No, I agree.
You know, you go, and we've talked about this before. It's one of those things with the Cardinals. They have a lot of good players, but that are tall, they're great, and you put them together and they're fine, but that also means you could upgrade just about everywhere, depending on how you went about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree with that. And we always talk about it to where, you know, you're going to have to improve somewhere, but when you pick that somewhere, someone's always going to fight that you don't need to improve there. You know, one of those things. And I mean, I may be one of those guys with Jericho that think that, you know, I really like Jericho. I think Jericho's a really good baseball player. But getting to the point to where you're just like, okay, well, I think you do have to go take a stab at one of these stars before too long. I've got an opinion on something that is not going to be popular, and I may take a lot of flack on it. And I'm going to say something that's kind of cryptic.
It's Alan's opinion. I want you to clear it out.
That's fine.
When you're directing flack, you directed it at Alan. Don't worry about me here.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, I kind of hope this situation blows up in my face. I'm on record of saying that the new would wear off very quickly with Machado. Mm-hmm. I just don't think, from what I've seen in Baltimore and LA, I just don't think that it would play well in St. Louis.
That's an interesting, and that's probably a fair statement. Not one I've ever thought about, but it could be. I don't know. I think, I haven't seen, all we see of Machado is, you know, when he was playing with Baltimore and now, like, this week with the Dodgers, or the last two series with the Dodgers. Yeah. So we really haven't seen him up close. I haven't really, don't know what the opinions were in Baltimore about him, although they seem to like him. But you're right. I could understand where you're coming from. You know, same thing with Harper.
The way that I say that about Machado too, and like I said, I'll be the first one to be fired up if they sign him. Don't get me wrong, just because that's going out and getting the big name. But you saw how quick everybody turned on Ozuna. Can you imagine if Machado starts out like this and starts sulking and not running out ground balls, which he's known to do, and kicking balls, that won't play very well. You know, he would have to come back a hero, and, you know, for somebody that's going to be pushing $30 million a year, I just don't think that could be a recipe for disaster. I read somewhere to where the chances of him signing in L.A., of them making a really run, has gone down in the time that he's been there. It's almost worked against him that they came in thinking, well, if he takes off, you know, this is something that we're going to consider doing, to where now it's like, well, we're pretty happy with what we've got. You know, I think that probably, that speaks volumes. Now that, there can be a double-edged sword on that though. Now that could just be a play because I do think they're going to be the biggest bidder for Harper.
Yeah, I mean, that's... just knocked some stuff over. That's what my kids get for leaving their stuff in this area.
I thought you got kicked offline there for a second. Oh. I thought you kept me off of my rant.
not intentionally. Not that way. I don't know. I mean, you're right. I think anybody that they get runs that risk for sure. Because you're right. You did see what they... You know... Partly because the Cardinals have been so burned on so many big players lately. You know, they go out and get Ozuna, and he struggles most of the year, or at least wasn't the guy that they thought they were getting. You know, they go out and get Jason Hayward, who, you know, put up, what, a 6-WAR season, but most of it in defense. He didn't really ever hit like they thought he would. It seems like a lot of guys have done worse when they get to St. Louis, and so if they go out and get a free agent and he does the same thing and you're stuck with him for 7, 8, 9 years at a huge contract, yeah, that's going to hurt. Alan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a matter too. I think he would be a bust, but it's just not a mix. I just don't think we'll in St. Louis.
Yeah. Very well, may not. We're hitting the hour mark. We also seem to be hitting a little bit of technical difficulties. And I think we've covered just about everything we really need to cover. So I guess Alan and awesome. I will kind of wrap it for this evening. But Cardinals have the series with the Giants. They have the series with the Brewers. And Alan and I may be with you again next Thursday with the off day to talk about the last three games of the season. It's really, really hard for me to grasp that this season is pretty much done. You know, I mean, it just seems like yesterday we were talking about that, you know, that ugly game against the Mets and Carlos Martinez and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, you know, it's been 2 months since the managerial change, and that seems like yesterday. So, we'll talk about what's happened this week, this last weekend, and hopefully we're talking about a guaranteed playoffs next week. Hopefully the Cardinals have clinched by this time next week, but or at least be very, very close. And so we'll have to wait and see. But until then, for Alan, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Suter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!